Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Blackhawks Live. Whether you're the casual hockey observer or the epitome of a rabid Hawks fan, Blackhawks Live answers all your questions.
It's just been a good sign this year that they all seem to be having fun, getting along, and working hard. I love those three things together.
Joe Brand delivers the news, notes, and everyday gossip from the Madhouse on Madison. Here's Joe Brand.
Welcome into Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN. Blackhawks are still on one of their longest road trips of the season. Just recently coming off a rough loss, but a tough loss to the reigning Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche, 5-0, as this team has kind of come back down to earth a little bit as of late. Obviously riding high after a big win against the Boston Bruins, a road victory against the Nashville Predators, and then nearly following that up with another victory in Arizona, but not quite able to pull out the win. 2 games left on the road trip. It'll be in Washington tomorrow night against the Capitals, 6 o'clock. We'll have the pregame show right here at 5:30, and then Saturday wraps up the road trip in Minnesota. And then the Hawks return home for a 4-game homestand beginning on Sunday night against the Vancouver Canucks at the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. Jack Heinrich is our producer. We do Blackhawks Live every single week, and every week we kind of get a different time slot. For the most part, we're always slated on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. That's what you should schedule this show to. But every once in a while, you know, things happen. Like the Hawks will play, like they did this week. Sometimes Northwestern basketball happens. So the content of the show is always interchanging. Of course, this is a hockey show. We're going to talk about hockey. We're going to talk to Jujhar Khaira later on, talk about his engagement, how he's clicking on with this new line. He'll talk about Captain Jonathan Toews. You know, we haven't heard from the Blackhawks captain since he announced he was going to take some time away to focus on his health shortly after the All-Star break. But news leaking today and the Chicago Blackhawks announcing today that they will not be wearing their Pride jerseys on Sunday for Pride Night at the United Center. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind, that there is still a Pride Night. There is still constant celebration of the LGBTQ community, not only leading up to the game and during the game and after the game, but also all year long. And we're going to get into a lot of that maybe in the next break or so. But I think it's important to point out everything that the Hawks are doing, not just for Pride Night, but overall, 365 days out of the year, providing that support, providing that engagement. But I understand this is a big issue, and it's a hot-button issue, and it affects a lot of people. It truly does. Now, clearly, this is a little bit bigger of an issue because of what's gone on in the NHL earlier this year. Let's keep in mind the Blackhawks have worn Pride jerseys before. And as of just yesterday, not until today, it was under the assumption that the entire team was going to be wearing their Pride uniforms. Ivan Provorov, the Philadelphia Flyers earlier this year, did not. That's what prompted the question. Connor Murphy, one of the Blackhawks leaders in that locker room, whether or not Jonathan Toews is there, under the assumption that the team would wear it. A report by The Athletic, they asked Danny Wirtz, Blackhawks CEO, Jamie Faulkner, president of business operations, and everyone pretty much under the assumption that the Blackhawks were going to wear their Pride sweaters. That is no longer the case. And I think it's important to point out that of Pride Night, of the entire event that goes on, and again, along with all the other things that the Hawks do to support the LGBTQ community, is a year-round thing. But wearing the sweaters during pregame skate is the only thing that includes both the players and the organization at the same time. There's social media presence. I mean, there's going to be a pregame event at the atrium leading up on Wednesday. There's going to be an employee learning session where you can play. There is going to be inclusion of the Chicago Gay Hockey Association family skate at Fifth Third Arena on March 26th. A fireside chat hosted by Megan Hunter of the Blackhawks front office as she sits down with Brock McGillis, a former professional goaltender, first openly gay men's professional hockey player. So that support is there. Now, obviously, the outlier is the organization making the decision to not wear the sweaters. And one of the biggest outliers that hasn't been reported by the team, but it has been reported through sources, that there is the aspect of the banning of gay propaganda by Russia and how that can affect the hockey community, because a lot of hockey players are Russian. The Blackhawks have two Russian players, an Anton Hudobin and Nikita Zaitsev. Philip Kurashev has family from Russia. And there is a thought and a possibility that that could endanger those players or their families via sources. And if you want to go out and say that this is all a cover-up or this is all me trying to justify what's going on, again, if the Blackhawks didn't want to support the LGBTQ community, they could cancel the night. That's not the case, though. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe the NHL is the only sport that does this, where they have a celebration night and the players wear that specific uniform. I mean, no one even really does a pregame skate, quote-unquote, with any other sport. With baseball, you know, they're wearing their uniforms. Football, they're wearing their uniforms, they're stretching. Basketball, okay, they wear the cover-up shirts and the warm-up shirts, so maybe there. But if the pregame skate sweaters weren't a thing, this would just be Pride Night, and that would be it. Now, I do believe that this is a difficult decision, that, again, the Hawks announced that this was an organizational decision. This was not about the players. And I think it's a difficult decision and a frustrating one. And I don't think the Blackhawks are taking that lightly. But also, okay, if you make the argument, well, if you're denying a player and their belief to support that community, and, you know, what's holding Connor Murphy back from going out in a Pride sweater? Well, if he's the only one, then all of a sudden the questioning goes to the other players that didn't wear it. And that's fair, and that's valid. But if this aspect of Russian law and endangering families and endangering players is an aspect of it, what is the player supposed to say? I just think it's important to look at all these certain things. People are going to believe what they believe in, and everyone has that right. But again, I don't think it's 100% cut and dry that the Blackhawks don't support the LGBTQ community when they pull away Pride sweaters, when they have an entire night devoted to it still. And again, constant support and engagement throughout the year. And I've seen the argument, okay, well, what about the night supporting Ukraine? The players didn't wear warm-up sweaters that night. The organization still held a night supporting the Ukraine. It's a tough situation. It's a tough topic. And again, I think what has preceded it, Ivan Provorov standing up for his religious beliefs, making that the reason why he didn't wear the sweater, James Reimer, and even those two are different. The Philadelphia Flyers somewhat backed up Ivan Provorov. The San Jose Sharks didn't quite do that. They kind of left him on his own. But again, in the Hawks statement, they're making it clear that this is an organizational decision, not a player decision. And again, if you're heading to the United Center Sunday night, whether it's for Pride Night or not, I'm guaranteeing you it's going to be very engaged, so many activities, and no hiding whatsoever. I want to remind you that Blackhawks Live is sponsored by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet you get. We're going to talk to Jujhar Kara a little bit later. We're also going to be informing you of all the events leading up to Pride Night, during Pride Night, and we'll get into some hockey as well. This is Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Blackhawks Live rolls on here on 720 WGN. We're going to talk to Jujhar Kara shortly. That'll come after the 7:30 news. Always enjoy talking with Jujhar Kara. Just seems like a very sharp dude. And not only just intelligent, but I also think he's got a good hold of his emotional intelligence. And I actually bring that up to him in the interview coming up, because he's had so many setbacks over the past 2 years. And even leading into last season was dealing with some health issues. And that dude just continues to come back and come back and come back. It's like one of those clowns, inflatable clowns I used to punch as a kid, filled with sand at the bottom, and then they just come right back up. And speaking of punching, and I asked Jujhar this, there was a game recently where he got in a fight. The guy he's fighting starts to go down towards the ice, and I think Patrick Sharp said it on the television broadcast that that's always an unwritten rule when a player's in a vulnerable spot, to not continue to throw haymakers, to not throw quote-unquote cheap shots. And it was almost like the fight that Jujhar Kara got into was so businesslike. Just punch, 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 punch. They start to fall down. Okay, that's it. And I think he even said, like, you are right, or something like that. Like, another hot topic issue is just fighting in hockey in general. But if all the fights go like that, I think everyone would agree a little bit more. I'm Joe Brand. We're taking this up to shortly before the 7:30 news. Again, if you're heading out to the United Center on Sunday, which begins a four-game homestand, it's Pride Night against the Vancouver Canucks. Inside the arena, prior to the game, there's going to be events. Before the game, live entertainment by DJ Vernimal, a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, and the Chicago Gay Men's Chorus, Chicago Sugar Daddy Patisserie, an owned bakery of the LGBTQIA+ community, and North Halsted will be offering all types of baked goods. The Glamboni is going to be paying a tribute to Chicago's iconic Pride Parade. And another thing to point out, again, the nonstop support of the Chicago Blackhawks to the LGBTQIA+ community. I didn't know this. The Hawks are the first team to present the Stanley Cup to the Pride Parade. So again, that game Sunday against Vancouver, it starts a four-game homestand. Not the final four-game homestand, but the season is winding down. And listen, it was a ton of fun to beat Boston. That was such a fun night at the United Center. I mean, that crowd was electric. And I continue to commend the Blackhawks fans for doing such a good job of being engaged all game long. But man, there were a lot of Bruins fans there. It was a fun environment and probably the win of the year for this team. But one of my favorite things about after that game, I was talking to Mackenzie Entwistle. He was our post-game guest. He and Troy Murray, all part of the conversation. And he was talking about what was addressed in the locker room before the game, and basically said kind of a cliche statement, we're a bunch of young kids with something to prove, let's go out there and do it, we know we can do this, that's all feel good. But I had to ask him if he got up and said that, because even though Mackenzie Entwistle is one of the younger guys on the team, ironically he's also the fourth most tenured Blackhawk on that roster right now, he always feels comfortable speaking up. And I've heard that from him, I've heard that from teammates, but something that Entwistle had to say about that ambiance in the locker room, is that something that Jonathan Toews stressed right from the get-go, was that he even said when the Hawks were winning their cups in the 2010s, it wasn't only players with letters on their sweaters that got to speak up. Everyone had a voice, and he continued that on. And I think that's paying dividends right now, because a lot of these younger guys, whether they're a part of the Blackhawks' future success or not, they feel comfortable speaking up, and they feel okay trying to just pump some extra life in this team. And I think that's a good trait for a locker room to have. And I also think Luke Richardson is the type of guy that will allow that to continue, and that clearly shows. Speaking of Jonathan Toews, it was recently reported by John Dietz of the Daily Herald that Toews is reportedly seriously considering retirement. We can get into this a little bit more after our interview with Jujhar Khaira. Jujhar actually updates us on Toews a little bit. But I will say, whether or not that's going to be the decision at the end of the year, let's point out that this is the first time that Jonathan Toews has, that this belief has even ever been brought up about Toews. So if it is indeed true, this is the first time, and not in a negative connotation, this is the first time he's showing vulnerability, because he's always been a hard-nosed, confident hockey player, adamant to still keep playing. We'll get into more of this after we talk with Jujhar, but first we got to get to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with David Jennings.
Welcome back to Blackhawks Live here on WGN Radio. We're chatting with Blackhawks forward Jujhar Khaira, who has found a lot of success on his new line with Boris Tkachuk and Joey Anderson. Jujhar, thank you very much for your time today. What's the excitement level been like on that line, especially with the success that you guys have been finding?
Yeah, it's been fun, I think, you know, for all of us. We're kind of play a similar style of game, and you know, we're guys that I think that go out there and work and try to give it everything we have every game. So yeah, you know, we know what to expect when we show up to the rink, and yeah, it's fun working for each other and having success together.
Perfect lead into my next question about, you know, not only are there a lot of similarities with your play on that line, but kind of the way this whole roster is made up as of right now, after all the turnover from the trade deadline, just a lot of hardworking, strong effort, gritty players. How much does that play a role in this team's success as of late, and just being able to pull on the same rope, really, whether it's individually or as a team?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of our success. You know, I think we have a pretty young team, and then, you know, also some veterans, but, yeah, you know, we know what position we're in, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're not a team that's gonna, you know, just give up no matter what. We're gonna, get out there and start and work hard. I mean, that's one thing we're committed to as a group. And, you know, I think that's one thing that we've done well too. And, you know, everybody has everybody's back out there. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun playing this style, fast paced game. And, yeah, I think everybody's coming into their own with the system.
Specifically with you, and I know we've chatted about this before, but all the setbacks that you've had to deal with over the past 2 years, really, what's been the biggest challenge of all that? How have you been able to stay patient and still hardworking, but also just kind of respecting the whole process of coming back and the multiple times that you've had to do that?
Yeah, it's definitely very frustrating. I mean, mentally, you just want to go and, you know, play as much hockey as you can, but physically, sometimes it doesn't always, they don't always sync up. But yeah, I think mentally, that's definitely been the toughest part, just knowing that, you know, you want to do something, but maybe at that time your body kind of limits you. So, yeah, the last couple of years definitely have been tough, but, you know, now looking at it and being able to play, I'm just super grateful to get to play the game that I love. And I don't think you take it for advantage as much when you're, or you take it for take advantage of it when you're, sorry.
Take it for granted.
And you're playing because you, yeah, take it for granted. Yeah, that's what I meant. Just when you're in it, but then, you know, the moment you can't play, it kind of brings everything back. So just with everything over the last couple of years, I'm very grateful to be out there and playing, and, you know, just even just being on the same schedule as a team, because when you're injured, it's tough. You're not really around the guys as much as you would like. And, you know, you miss all the road trips. So, yeah, just being able to do all that has been—it's been really fun. I think the biggest thing is just being grateful for the opportunity and for the work I put in to get back.
I don't mean to read too much into it, but would you say that it's maybe affected your emotional state, just being totally in control of your emotions, not getting too high, not getting too low out there, just knowing how much goes into the game and how much goes into mentally being prepared after everything you've gone through? Do you feel like you've got a better hold on your emotional states?
I'd like to think so, just with everything, but again, it's one of those things, you know, you get back into it and other emotions start coming up, and they're different emotions because you're in a different situation. But you know, it's probably the best thing right now is just to kind of, like, for me, I'm just trying to go out there and just have fun with it, just because I've sat at home so much, and you know, just try to stay in shape when I can. But you know, mentally, I think there's always times where you're really in touch with your feelings, what you can, or controlling your emotions. But at the same time, you know, different situations come up and they test you in different ways. So I think it's always going to be a work in progress, no matter if you're playing hockey or not. But, you know, I think I'm learning a lot about myself as this has been happening.
Right. And again, I don't mean to read too much into it, but I ask because I kind of thought about it when I forget exactly what game it was and who the other player was, but you guys were on the road, you got in a fight, and the person you were fighting, the player was like starting to get down towards the ice, and you pulled back. You didn't take any cheap shots. You didn't throw any tough punches. You just seemed totally aware in that state, when many players would just kind of let their emotions take over. So I don't mean to read too much into it, but to me, that's you just totally understanding where your body is at right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I get what you're saying. I don't know if that's it in general. I think just kind of the style I play. You know, I feel like I'm a pretty honest player out there, and you know, fighting, hitting, or anything like that. I'm never out there trying to hurt anybody. So I try to kind of, you know, I'm aware of my surroundings, what's happening. But, you know, I play hard. It's one of those things where fights and stuff happen. But, yeah, definitely not trying to land any cheap shots, because I know, you know, anyone's capable of that. And, you know, I've run into a lot of guys that maybe could have taken advantage of me while I've been in those vulnerable positions, but they've held up. So I think it's kind of more of a respect thing. You know, I think anybody that puts themselves in that situation where you could get injured by whatever, getting taking a punch. So I just, you know, anybody that puts their body in that situation, I respect it, and I definitely don't try to take advantage of a vulnerable position.
No, that makes sense. We're talking with Jujhar Khera here on Blackhawks Live. Every player is different, but I'm assuming what Jonathan Toews is going through right now is very difficult as well. Any chance you've broken bread with him, kind of conversed about the speed bumps that he's been dealing with right now?
Nothing in a serious manner. I mean, obviously we check in with each other, but, you know, his journey is, what he's going through right now is something that he needs to deal with, and I know, I'm sure there's a lot of people giving him their opinions and all that, and, you know, I think it's something he needs to figure out, and you know, and obviously I'm hoping the best for him, because obviously what he's done for the franchise, for the NHL in general, or for hockey in general, it's been fantastic. And, you know, a player like that, you want him to have you know, a great long career, and, you know, filled with happiness because he's done all the hard stuff. So, you know, we're all pulling for him, and we want him to get back to feeling as good as he can.
I know he's been a constant visitor for you guys at the United Center. What's his demeanor been like?
Yeah, he's always awesome. He's a true professional. He's done it all. So, you know, he's someone that you definitely want around if he's playing or not. He just, I don't know, he brings a smile to my face whenever I see him. So, and I think a lot of other guys could say the same thing. But, you know, through his battles, what he's going through, he still comes in with a positive attitude, and he's always in there mixing it up with everybody, which is what you want out of a captain. And obviously he's displayed that not just this year, but in previous years or his whole career. So, you know, he's a great athlete, human being. And, you know, obviously if he could come back and play and or whatever his journey entails, you know, hopefully that happens soon and he feels good and starts enjoying life.
For sure. Hey, how's the wedding planning coming along?
No wedding planning. Yeah, we're gonna figure that out this summer. There's too much going on. I'm worried about getting back before I got into that.
No, that's probably the right move. Weddings, you know, can be so intricate. Do you feel like you're gonna be a guy that needs your fingerprints on a lot of the decisions, big or small, or are you just kind of letting Jenna handle most of it?
You know, we haven't even talked about it. I'm definitely not too picky, but I know just the both of us culturally, obviously, we're both from different cultures and stuff like that, so it's going to be interesting. We're definitely going to talk about it and kind of figure it out, but I mean, as long as, you know, she has fun and it's great, and you know, I'll be happy. It's a big day. It'll be a big day for us and an exciting day, so I'm sure it'll be fun however it works out.
For sure. Well, lastly, kind of talking about your background, you being part of such an exclusive group of playing in the NHL with Punjabi descent, what was your hockey life growing up? I mean, did you look up to those other players that had been in the NHL, and did that do a lot for you, or were you always just kind of on your own path?
Yeah, I think my own path. I think, you know, as we grew up, our parents were great. There was nothing where we had to say, oh, you got to follow someone because of this. There's, you know, I think we were regular hockey kid, or yeah, a hockey family as well. Our parents, just like many other parents, you know, they sacrificed a lot to get us where we are now. So, I wouldn't say there was much difference at all. It was kind of, you know, you're still playing in the backyard. You still want to be like your favorites, or if you're in net, you want to be like your favorite goalie. So it didn't matter who it was. You were just playing and having fun.
Who were some of your favorite players growing up?
A big one was Todd Bertuzzi growing up in Vancouver. That West Coast Express line was pretty fun to watch growing up. And then he was probably the big one growing up, just kind of watching them all the time. And then when Sidney Crosby came into the league, I mean, I'm sure like a bunch of other kids growing up could say the same, but yeah, he was always phenomenal to watch, and to this day he still is.
Very cool. Well, Juju, thank you very much for the time. Really appreciate it. Keep up this great work towards the end of the season. It's really fun to watch you guys right now.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll have more Blackhawks Live coming up, 720 WGN.
We wrap up Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN by playing one of my favorite tunes and favorite bumps, so extra brownie points to Jack Heinrich for remembering my fondness for this song. Good choice.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you can only talk when the music's down, right?
I don't know. I was juggling a couple of things here. I probably could have talked.
What, Jack, what's your favorite Easter candy after that frivolous read we just had?
I'm trying to think. I mean, mainly just, like, I like those chocolate eggs that they have, like the Reese's Cups ones.
Yeah, the Reese's ones are a staple, but you know what? I mean, honestly, I am a fan of marshmallow eggs.
Those are good, too.
So, again,
I'm not very picky when it comes to candy.
That's AndersonsCandyShop.com. Yeah, no, neither am I. Jelly beans, Reese's, and it's Reese's, not Reese's, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I say it the wrong way, though.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I was taking notes about it. Blackhawks will play Washington tomorrow and then wrap up the road trip against the Minnesota Wild on Saturday. Their homestand starts on Sunday, Vancouver, Dallas, St. Louis, and New Jersey. But believe it or not, this season is only 3 weeks longer. They'll wrap up the year. Three-game road trip, Calgary, Vancouver, Seattle, before heading back home. Minnesota and Pittsburgh, or rather Minnesota and Philadelphia. Their last road game is against Pittsburgh. But again, the last game against Colorado is probably more what Hawks fans were expecting to see. I mean, the reigning Stanley Cup champs, Colorado is playing some of their best hockey right now. Hawks were able to weather the storm for about 20 minutes, but then once the Avalanche picked up the lead, it was kind of smooth sailing for them. But I think that points out, too, just how impressive it was how well the Hawks were playing, beating Boston and beating Nashville on the road and pulling out a point against the Florida Panthers. Anything can happen in overtime, and then nearly sending the Tampa Bay Lightning to overtime as well. But now, a lot of tough opponents coming up. I will point out that if you are looking at the standings upside down in the sake of the rebuild, there was a little bit of help the other night as the Columbus Blue Jackets were able to pick up a 7-6 overtime victory against the Washington Capitals. So taking a look at the upside-down standings right now, Columbus still at the bottom with 51 points. San Jose, second to last, with 53. The Hawks with 54. So all those texters and tweeters that were getting real antsy about how well the Hawks were playing and sabotaging this year, which, again, I don't agree with. There are values in victories for this team still. There's still a handful of games to be played against some pretty good teams. Also want to remind you that Blackhawks Live is sponsored by Brewpub Lotsa Matsa Pizza. Be sure to check out Brewpub Lotsa Matsa Pizza in the frozen section of your local retailer. I highly suggest at least trying it the first time, or rather the next time, you buy some frozen pizza. Chicago's great. It's got a ton of great options, but you can't get delivery every time. Frozen Lotsa Matsa, great second choice. Again, our pregame show is tomorrow night against Washington. The FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show begins at 5:30. Puck drop at 6 with John Wideman and Troy Murray. Our last game was Kaylee Chelios' last game on the radio. Just want to give another shout-out to Kaylee, doing a fantastic job this year. You can still see her over on the TV side of things, but her and Troy, the rotation that they had this year was definitely a benefit to Blackhawks listeners and Blackhawks fans. Our next Blackhawks Live show will be Monday night at 7 o'clock. We'll be back on Monday. Hawks will be sandwiched around a couple of home games. But again, road games against Washington and Minnesota to finish off this weekend, and then back at home at the United Center on Sunday. Still 6 home games left for the Hawks if you're still trying to make it out to the UC. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Big thanks to the Blackhawks. Big thanks to Jujhar Khera. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. I'm Joe Brand. Again, we'll talk to you tomorrow night as the Hawks visit the Washington Capitals.